Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, I had a sexy dream about Gina that didn't turn out very well. I'll share that with you. Also, play a clip from Mark Garagos from a little earlier in the day where he went ballistic. I mean, I've known Mark for a long time. And I know he's a passionate man, but he just went nuts. And I think you're going to enjoy him going nuts. First, I'll tell you about True Car. 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial is going to last. What else can you do in 60 seconds? Well, how about you get an offer on your car? Just go to True Car, use your smartphone, or you can use your computer. Enter your license plate number and watch your car's details pop right on up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from your local True Car certified dealer. You bring your car in, they'll check it out with you, do it together, ask questions, get answers, no surprises, then leave. And you can leave your car and leave with a check, or you can trade it in on a new car or a used car, whatever you like. It's all at True Car. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, you always check out True Car today. It's a better way. It is True Car. Support for the Adam Carolla podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Kyle Dunnigan. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, RJ Bell gives his week 4 NFL picks, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, to be fair to Trump, transcripts of his phone calls would get him impeached too. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice to get on the mandate. You get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I had a dream about you last night, Gina Grad.
Oh, my God.
And good day. And Bald Brian, you put some weight on.
Jeez, I'm working on it, for God's sake.
That definitely could have been about me.
I'm trying to think of
why. It's always about you, Gina. tell us about your dream about Gina.
I wonder why. I'm not sure why Gina was in the dream.
Let's find out.
I had a weird thing. I worked a lot.
She's big north of the border.
That's true, too.
I was tired. I was bored and bordered. I worked a lot yesterday, and then I hustled off to the Crank Yankers party that night and had a couple of pops, toked a little spleef.
Look at you.
Over there.
You were back in time in 1970?
Yeah. I mean, There's Daniel and Jimmy and Tiffany Jeff. Haddish is there. And we'd have to go back for the Tiffany Haddish thing. But anyway, good group.
Kevin
Jeff
Nealon.
Ross and Kevin Nealon. Good group. Anyway, hanging out, drinking, smoking pot. I had a early morning meeting at a warehouse about doing some construction in a warehouse. So I had the warehouse on my mind.
Okay.
My dream was that I was across the street from a warehouse, and there was another warehouse, and there was like a bike accident, and it was a really chaotic thing, and I was running around, and someone had got hit on a bike out in the street. People were tending to them. At a certain point, Gina was there.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what we were doing, but we're like moving some boxes or something. And I was like, huh. And Gina handed me a box. Mm-hmm. And like on top of the box was a picture of you, like from, I was probably thinking about Larry Miller and you and your nude charcoals and whatever.
Awesome. He still asked me about that.
He still
texted me earlier.
Anyway,
he's like, "Hey, you're going to the show, right?"
It was like a picture of you and your friend, like on the beach in your 20s, like naked, but doing that like model PETA pose where you're like kind of covered up. But
I got
but,
a couple of those from Greece.
But naked,
yeah.
And
Larry's outside.
Bring those in when Larry comes by. But it was revealing. But there was a piece of tape over the boobies.
Even in your dream,
I know. And so I was like,
five rolls of duct tape.
and it was like
cheap joke.
It was like the old nudie magazines where they put the star over the chick's nipples or something.
Yeah,
and you gave me the box, and you're like, take this out to the truck or
wink,
whatever.
Wink.
And I was like, I was looking at it, and I was like, ooh. I was looking at the picture, and I go, ooh, okay. And I grab the piece of tape, and I start to peel it back, and the whole picture tears. Mm-hmm. So now
that's what you get.
It's all flapped up and fucked up now. And I was like, oh, God damn it. I try to like stick it back, but now it's like standing up. And I'm like, now the picture's ruined. And by the way, she knows. Yep. She's going to know that I tried to peel it back.
That's no accident.
And it just it tore the photograph. Yeah. So I don't get to see any titty. Mm-hmm. And I've tipped off the titty.
Titty tip.
To you. And I got nothing over here.
Nipped off.
And that was about the end of it. That was the end of the dream.
Like that's awesome.
That's as far as we got. So that's how I roll.
Okay.
In my dreams.
Even in your dreams, you don't get it. It's never, nothing ever comes up, Adam.
Not really. In that scenario, I could have gotten the tape off successfully and seen you nude.
Right.
But it didn't work. It took the picture with it.
I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm sorry that happened to you. And incidentally, would Matt be considered our HR rep? Is
probably.
That a Fondelier job?
Yeah, he should probably. Okay. He should probably. This should be reported.
Yeah.
Although technically,
report
I didn't
yourself.
See anything.
Yeah, you
know
get
what
to
I mean?
See anything. Yeah. That's a classic Adam Carolla dream.
Yeah, tore the picture, and then it was like, not only do I not see anything, but the picture's now screwed up, and you're going to know that somebody tried to peel the tape back, and who else would that be? You handed me the box. And then I woke up, and then I met a guy at a warehouse. Mm. So it's an awesome life for me. I had Mark Gargas in here. Moments ago, we were talking about the transcript, which isn't a transcript, according to Mark Gargas.
Right.
But either way, he said he would not have released it if he was advising the president, but painted a few scenarios why it may not be a bad idea.
Well, that transcript definitely depends what side you're on. You can interpret anything from that.
There's a few thoughts about it that he had that were interesting, but he said overall, no. Would have been his take on that.
My question for him, or just in general, I haven't heard addressed, is why release such a why release it in sort of a half form? You know what I mean? Like I said, not the transcript, but like a memo or whatever. Like if anything else comes out from that conversation, it's going to appear that things were covered up,
you know what I mean?
Or were left out intentionally, and then you've. Unintentionally, you shot yourself in the foot.
I'll cut you off because according to Mark, there is no transcript.
Okay.
They don't allow people to record and they don't allow like a stenographer to listen and write.
It's weird. They're just sitting there kind of taking notes.
There's three people who have clearances who are there interpreting and taking notes of what's happening. Now, I don't know. It kind of falls under the heading of the courtroom artist. Like, no pictures. Okay, so we got a guy with an acrylic painting of Bill Cosby. Right. Like, why?
As long as we have
an acrylic painting of him looking concerned, why not a photograph or whatever?
You put it up next to the witches being burned or tried in Salem. It's the same technology.
Right. So, according to Mark, there is no transcript because it's not allowed to record. Or to use a stenographer, but the three people are allowed to make notes, and I guess you would say that you're triangulating a conversation. You have three people, and then when you're done with the conversation or listening to the conversation, we can all sort of agree what it is, which I assume is that what it is. That's what it is. The problem with the system is then once you get inside the court. Mark said, like, oh, he wouldn't let that in because he'd go like, hey, we don't know how many of these guys are gunning against Trump. I mean, who knows if this is what happened? Who knows? He would just get it. He
his
would
aides say, who were taking notes?
Yeah, he'd say he can't be. Yeah, but it was leaked or was something like.
No, the White House put it out.
No, but what I mean is the initial thing. The initial.
The thing that forced their hand.
Oh, yeah, the whistleblower report.
What I'm saying is who knows what nefarious people are inside trying to do harm to my client, and this should not be admissible in court or whatever. That's what he would say. He wouldn't release it anyway, but it's not a transcript according to him. Anyway, I was talking to him about that. That was sort of caught us up with that. He's been tweeting out pictures of homeless people shooting up behind his business. He's been sending pictures of just crazy homeless guys with their pants down, holding. Sent me a picture.
Mark took
the picture. There's a
don't cut off the feet. That's the message.
There's a man of color. Max Paddle worked the picture out a little better. There's a man of color, and his pants are around his ankles, and his sweatshirt is covering his goodies. But he's holding in his left hand poop on paper.
Oh.
And that's out. Now, Mark pays, pardon the pun, a buttload in taxes. So he's pretty pissed that he's paying all these taxes and all the city tax and all this stuff. And every time he walks out of his law firm, there's some dude with his pants around his ankles.
I can't confirm this, but can you get high off of that if you smoke it?
Your own poop?
Yeah. Is that what's happening?
One way to find out.
Hold on. Be right back.
So I'll tell you about another dream that involved that, Gina, but that'll be off the air.
Okay. What are we looking at?
The other one is another crazy man that has a whole bunch of junk just like stuffed into a shirt who was just screaming, according to Mark, just out loud. These are homeless and insane people that need medical attention who are walking our streets and screaming as loud as they can. Mark goes into the epicenter of it every day because that's where his offices are. He goes nuts. So anyway, he had a meltdown. And Mark's great when he melts down. So he had a meltdown because I think he was yelling about the city's 300 attorneys and all these asshole. I'm holding my fingers up in air quotes, the homeless advocates that are just ruining homeless people and ruining the city. And by the way, when did you become a certified homeless advocate? What makes you a fucking expert in homeless advocates? And by the way, when I read the experts, the homeless experts, they cite cost of living.
Right.
You think this guy's shitting in the street because eggs are $4 a carton?
If he had $400 a month, he'd be all set.
Right. Okay. So these so-called advocates or experts, I don't fucking trust them as long as I can throw them. But here's a little snippet. This will air on Saturday, but this is Mark getting fired up.
The conversation was, well, if we ban sleeping in the sidewalks, maybe the controversy is we'll let people sleep on the sidewalks, but not within 6 feet of a doorway and not within 100 feet of a school.
Right.
I mean, this is a serious conversation. And then Mike Feuer, our city attorney, who's just abdicated all responsibility. There's 300 lawyers in the city attorney's office who are prosecuting marijuana offenses in the East L.A. courthouse for legitimate people who pay their taxes. The city attorneys are doing that. Yet Mike Feuer says, "Oh, if we ban sleeping on the sidewalk outside, by the way, there's vagrancy and loitering laws. If we do that, we'll get sued." Well, what are your 300 lawyers doing besides trashing taxpaying cannabis collectives?
It's insane.
See, I don't even understand where we are. What universe is this? There isn't talk about every single kind of ism. This wouldn't be allowed in socialism. It wouldn't be allowed, certainly wouldn't be allowed in totalitarianism. Why is it allowed in capitalism? I don't understand. Where are we that we're having an argument that we don't want to enact something because we're going to get sued? Then, okay, if you're worried about getting sued and you don't want to litigate issues like, then I'm going to just stop paying property taxes. All of us are going to stop paying property taxes because they're not doing what they're doing. What if all of a sudden I just say, I'm not going to, no, property taxes? No, you've abdicated your role. You've got 300 lawyers. Why do you have 300 fucking lawyers?
I like the idea that the lawyers are like, we'll get sued. Good. You live in court.
That's what you do.
You'll get sued by a person who's shitting in their pants. You sued by whom?
Well, sure, the ACLU.
I know. But Jesus Christ, ACLU. Fucking A.
But that's what you do. You're lawyers. You should be like a fish. Like, we're going to be forced to swim. They're going to throw us in the water.
It doesn't make any sense because you say you're a homeless advocate and you're letting people live very dangerously, harming themselves, living in a way that's unclean, living in a way that they're giving themselves diseases. Who are you advocating for?
What if I said I'm an advocate for children? So I'm fine with them shooting up outside and sleeping on a curb and living in unclean conditions and rat-infested refrigerator boxes with the bubonic plague. But hey, I'm an advocate for these kids.
But you're opposed to any kind of program, after-school programs.
No. You cannot tell them what to do. I advocate for them. Yes, children don't know what to do, and insane people don't know what to do. If you want to be an advocate for them, you have to tell them what to do and get them help. Jesus, goddamn Christ.
Seems pretty obvious.
Sad that it's come to this, but look. It's all I've been talking about, that people rule a law and governing. People have, in when it comes to parenting, never mistake discipline for being mean. See, this is what we've done. People need fucking discipline. Cops aren't being mean. They're arresting criminals. And every once in a while, an innocent person gets swept up in this. That's, by the way, when you enter society, God knows, everyone who goes to an airport decides to take their belt and shoes off, not because they're terrorists, just because we realize there's a threat, and we all must sort of conform, understood. And when the cop pulls you over or the cop stops you on the sidewalk at 2 a.m. and wants to know where you're going, he's allowed to do that, and you're allowed to say, I'm walking my dog. Or not. It's part of a societal thing. And quite often, people aren't involved with criminal activity are going to get stopped by cops, and they'll be inconvenienced. It's inconvenience. I don't think these guys are planting fentanyl on them. They're just asking what's in their pockets, and at a certain point, you pull your pockets out, and then you keep walking. Or you got a gun, in which case, we slow down crime. Stopped. But either way, we've somehow decided that the discipline, which is healthy and needed, again, when you raise your kids, you're not being mean when you tell them they can't have candy corn for breakfast. That's, you're disciplining them, or they must go to school, they must do their chores, or they must, whatever that thing is, that's discipline, and we can all agree that's what you need to raise good kids and have a good society. Somehow, we jumped over the center lane a little, and we got into, why are you being mean? And now we're blurring this line between being mean or this notion of, like, we're taking away people's rights, or, you know, as if a homeless person has the right to sleep on the sidewalk. I don't think a homeless person has a right to sleep on a sidewalk any more than I have a right of setting up a Mangria lemonade stand out on the sidewalk and selling that to guys driving by in vans.
Next summer.
What is my right? What is their right? I don't know. We live in a society where there's many, many rights that folks don't have. That's where we are. I don't know. There's 700 statutes. Just around what you can do with your car. Just where you can drive it, how fast you can drive it, when you register it, the taxes you pay on it. Guess what? You would like to drive around L.A. or California with no front license plate, but you don't get to.
Yeah.
They got a law. And you can't go, hey, I'll sue your ass. No, that's a law. We've agreed on it. Sorry about that. There we are. That's all we do. So, I don't know, this thing where certain things you have a natural right to, I don't know. I would claim that I have a natural right to not have a front license plate more than a natural right to defecate on the sidewalk. So, we're not doing these people any good, but also, again, it's the kind of dad does the discipline, mom does the nurturing. We've kind of jumped over into the mom's world. We've decided that's sort of the wave of the future. We can blame Dr. Drew, as I always do, and that's kind of where we're heading. We have I don't know what the LA City Council does, and that they're scared of being sued for enforcing laws that greatly affect the citizens who pay taxes and endanger them and endanger the people that are dying on the streets, of course. And then there's the thought of plague and things like that. You know,
things like that,
no. Little things like bubonic plague. Well, Geragos had an interesting point, which is the government is there to sort of keep the bridges up, keep the street lights on, and keep people safe. What more than a plague? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In Indeed. Terms of the government, like if we
wiping
said
out the city,
look, let's put this whole homeless and rights and all these things, civil liberties, put that all aside. There're plague-like conditions, and we're 10 minutes away from the bubonic plague or whatever plague-like conditions are going on with all the homelessness in Los Angeles. Just on the plague subject alone, doesn't the government need to intervene? Yes.
Don't we need
at this
to speak
point?
Their language and say, who will be left to pay taxes if we all get wiped out from the plague?
Jesus, goddamn Christ. Anyway, it was funny to watch Geragos go nuts.
You know, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this partying in Vegas late night, but you know, with all the girls stumbling around in their heels and their tight dresses, and it's too late, and it's 3 a.m. You know, at the Wynn or at other hotels in Vegas, you can't stand where you are in a lot of those hotels that have clubs. You got to keep walking. You got to keep moving. There's no loitering in front of the club.
Right.
This is inside the hotel.
Right.
So those are the rules for that, and yet here we are outside in L.A.
Yeah, the folks who govern this town are scared to govern, and the reason why they're scared to govern is governing means, you know, collecting taxes and doing cool things at the park with ribbon cutting ceremonies and stuff like that. And occasionally it means locking people up and rousting homeless and getting them off the street. You know, there's some downside to governing, and they don't want to seem to get involved with that part. So it's like if they were raising kids, they like the Saturday night movie popcorn night, but they don't like the Monday morning make the breakfast, get them to school homework night. That's not their thing. So they just sort of chose to do the fun stuff, which is like gouge the taxpayer, and not so much the dirty work, which is now you're going to have to hold up your end of the bargain. All right, RJ Bell's going to call in a minute. I was at the Crank Yankers party last night, as I said. Sad state of affairs, like as it pertains to homelessness, is I got the word, like, where's our rap party or where's our premiere party for Crank Yankers? And it was like, oh, it's in downtown.
And
I remember like, I started like preparing myself for like, where are we going to park and what are we going to deal with? And why should I bring two pair of shoes? Or there's little baggies you put on your feet for open house.
Right.
Like, just the notion that we're throwing a party in L.A. and I had to really start going over the machinations of like where and when and who and what was I going to be dealing with. Anyway, it was at a place called the 2-Bit Circus.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, is that the
It's like
video
a,
game place?
Fun
yeah, like
video
cool
game.
Oh. Adult arcade.
8-Bit Circus?
2-Bit.
I think it's called 2-Bit Circus.
Oh, because the quarters. Oh, yeah.
2-Bits.
I was talking to Jim Florentine and Jeff Ross and let's see. Who else was there?
Kevin Nealon
was there, and Jimmy was there, and it was fun. They just sort of, I didn't even know what was going to go on, but next thing you know, Jimmy had a mic in his hand, and he was sort of calling me up to stand in front of the group and get up there and give a little back and forth before Crank Yankers fired up. I got to tell you, man, you know, it's weird. It's puppets, so you don't think there's going to be a lot of technological advancement in puppetry, but there is in the 15 or whatever years since we did the last one. And
they blink?
Jeez, that's a good question.
They feel ennui.
It was really fun talking to the puppeteers because the puppeteers are very interesting people. They get the script. They get the recording of the call, and then they have to bring it home and memorize it because they have to act it out.
Yeah, they're busy during that scene.
So they just listen to it over and over and over, and it's weird when you meet the guy who does your character. There was a Bertram installment, and he's you know, talking about getting in the car and driving home and just listening and listening and listening.
Poor guy.
And it's like, God, I know. But they're really the sort of the unsung heroes, and boy, are they unsung. Like they're literally beneath the counter. Are the guys who do the puppeteering.
You never think about them.
No, and it's so, you know, out of sight and out of mindy, and just how
if they're doing their
wired.
Job, you don't think about them.
And there's so much more, I don't know, there's interesting sort of CGI components and things like that. It's really interesting. So what I'm saying is in the past, when we did it, you would, all the laughs would be based on the recorded call with some sprinkled in on a sign on a hanging in the back of a hotel counter or something like that. But now there's a lot of laughs with the actual puppetry and what's physically going on in the room, which is an interesting dimension that
we didn't
have before. So enjoy that. Let's see. We got an intro for RJ.
It's time for RJ's Parlay, presented by BetDSI with Vegas insider RJ Bell.
RJ Bell.
Hey, boys and gals.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent, excellent. Just living the dream, baby.
Now, last week, correlated parlay, you got the Jets, and then there was a underscore that you pushed on. So how does that work?
Well, if you played it individually, and that's the way we've graded all these games, you know, it'd be one win and one push, which is just your money gets returned. It's like a tie. If you did bet it in a parlay, you get a one-teamer payout. So it's as if, you know, the tie disappears. You bet one game, you won one game, thus you're going to get the same payout you would have if you had bet just the Jets by itself.
Can I just jump in, apropos to not that, but the Giants, and they got their new quarterback, Jones, I think it is, Eli's on the...
Danny Dimes.
Eli's on this weird position where he has to cheer on the guys taking his place and this and the other. And like I was watching the sports wrap, I was traveling and stuff, and Sports Center and stuff, and they're doing this whole thing where it's like, hey, he gets away with his first win, and but such a comeback. The guy from Tampa Bay missed a 34-yard field goal. I mean, he missed essentially what is an extra point. Like, the guy from Tampa Bay missed a field goal that every high school kicker makes 85% of the time, and everyone's jumping up and down, and he's a hero, and he played a great game, and he made a comeback and everything. But let's not forget about the part where he essentially lost because the guy missed a chip shot, like a zero. I don't know what's going on with Tampa Bay, but I'm saying it's a great story, but the reason it's a great story is because the guy missed a gimme.
No doubt. And first off, what's even more interesting about the miss is they literally took a delay a game to go 5 yards further back, and there's been different people that's done a little simulation of the flight of the ball. It would have been good from 5 yards closer, or at least some people believe that.
Now you sound like Lynette.
So, to me, think back to Pine Barrens, right? I'm guessing you watched The Sopranos, right?
Sure.
Yep.
Remember when Christopher was eating the ketchup packs because they were freezing?
Mix it with the relish.
Right.
Yeah, the Giants are starving, and this was the ketchup packs.
Now, you know, that's like the coach, you know, when they said to the coach, like, hey, man, why did you take the delay a game or whatever? If I go, this guy's more accurate from 35 than he is from 30, then you move back every time, right?
Right.
If that's
except in theory, you could have done that with extra points your whole career, and 20 is too short in that theory. So why didn't he do it?
I don't know, but I don't think, you know, there was a situation with the Browns where it was like 3rd and 9, and they like handed the ball off and got stuffed, and it's like clearly just a weak call. Right. That's on the coach. But then this one, if I'm the coach and the guy says, I'm better at 35 than I am at 30, then I move it back. Like, that's not on me.
Do we know that the kicker said that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why else he would have done it. I have heard in the past, like guys who, they'll do one running play, move it to the center, move it to that hash, or whatever it is.
And in college, where the hash marks are more extreme to the left and right, this is viable because the angle can be too tough. In the NFL, and I think if I recall last year, you guys had Mike Lombardi on, a Belichick guy once. Lombardi was talking about this, that he's never seen it from that distance in the NFL. So this was a very unusual call. Doesn't mean it was wrong. It was just very unusual what Tampa Bay did. Still, you can watch the Giants quarterback, Daniel Jones, and say this guy's got potential. And though he was a top 10 pick, it was a situation where there was real doubt that this guy could compete in the NFL. So it was a very encouraging sign for the Giants fans.
Is that it for Eli? Is he going to want to be traded? Is he going to retire? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just, here's the thing. Does he, you know, the athletes always say they're the last to know. I mean, did Ali know Holmes was going to whip him?
No. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stories with that particular
thing.
Yeah,
so to me, it feels like, would you rather sit on the bench or potentially wait up until the trade deadline, see which best team, you know, let's say Breeze isn't coming back, right? Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, we don't know. I mean, he's supposed to. All of a sudden now, would you want one last run with the Saints? And let's not forget, his brother won two Super Bowls. His last Super Bowl was his last season. It was by far his worst. And I don't think Peyton Manning, the year they won the Super Bowl last with Denver, was any better than Eli is right now.
It's a good
and
point.
His brother won a Super Bowl kind of with a great defense at the very end.
And let's not forget Archie Manning, the dad, was the quarterback for the Saints all those years in the 70s.
Oh, great pull there.
Well, that's why they call me Ace. All right, RJ, the bell, the phone line's a little crackly, so why don't we get your picks in for week four?
Yeah. So 5-0 now officially, and caveat, and I'm saying this sincerely, because, guy, you know, just on the Twitter buzz, you know, a lot of people now are like, oh my God, he's winning. We're going to be 55% long 10 years from now when Adam's having his last show. We'll look back, and it was 55%. When's the retirement, Adam, you think? 10 years?
I may be claimed by some autoimmune disease before then, but if not, or plague, because I live in Los Angeles, so rat mites may take me before. Well, it'll be one of those things where it's like, well, was it the hepatitis that took him, or was it the bubonic plague? It's like, well, he was in a weakened condition, yeah. So we'll just call it both.
Too many downtown
his
rap parties.
Exactly. So yeah. 55 is the goal, so let's keep our expectations reasonable for the listeners. Two picks this week for the parlay, obviously. One is, we're going to lay the lumber, which we usually don't, with the Colts, favored by 6.5 over the Raiders. Some of this is pro-Colts. Andrew Luck gone, the public is like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Well, Jacoby Brissett, a former Patriot, doing quite well. Very valid starter in the NFL right now. And typically favorites up near a touchdown, you got to worry about them looking past the game. Colts are worried about establishing they're a good team without Luck, so I don't think we have that problem. Raiders have been bad, but it's been masked by beating Denver on Monday night, opening week, in front of the world. Well, Denver might be one of the worst teams, and Miami's worse. Jets are worse. Redskins might be worse. So Raiders, in a way, are under the radar about how bad they are. So pick number one, Colts, favored by 6.5. Pick number two, against the Rams, against them, Tampa Bay plus 10. Got to be impressed, 3-0. I think the Rams are overrated. And Gurley, the running back, who is key to that offense, only his knee is bothering him. It was last year. It still is. Only 8 receiving yards in 3 games. That's a sign he's just not feeling right. That's leading Goff to not have the play action, which means that when he has to pass, he's not as good as when the other team has to worry more about Gurley. Finally, Winston, not a great quarterback. Certainly below average, but he's better thrown from behind than he is in close games. We're getting 10 points. So it doesn't really matter who wins the close game. And if they do get down 17, Winston's the type that can give them the backdoor cover. Tampa Bay plus 10, pick number two.
As he did last week, he just marched right down the field and set up a field goal that was missed. RJ,
if they miss it, it doesn't matter.
Website, by the way, pregame.com, podcast, Dream Preview. Thanks, man, and continued success.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Always fun with you. Thank you.
All right.
RJ's Parlay, presented by BetDSI.
Oh, someone wants to pull some balls in Napa. Let me hit BetDSI first, and then we'll roll into Taylor over there. Great time of the year. Beautiful weather. It's cooling down, finally. It's going to cool down, and that'll be it. Add excitement. Make BetDSI.com your betting partner. Use BetDSI's live betting platform. Watch all the events and bet games until the final whistle. New members get 100% bonus match with promo code ADAM101. That's double your money, everyone. Paying winners for over 20 years, top-rated on review sites, user-friendly interface, and mobile site. Fastest payouts in the industry. NFL, NBA, NHL, boxing, politics, impeachment, reality TV, esports, it's all there at BetDSI. And again, BetDSI.com, promo code ADAM101, limited time, 100% bonus offer. That is BetDSI. All right, let's see. Kyle Dunnigan's going to come in here. Maybe bust out a little Trump. You'll tell me when he arrives.
Dying to hear his thoughts.
Let me tell you about, I think we may play some blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Taylor, 25, Oakland.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, gal.
Hi.
What's going on? What are you doing in Oakland?
I actually work in San Francisco for Lyft as an engineering manager.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Would you like to come out to the Napa show? Are you coming out to the Napa show?
It would be a dream come true. We're a big ACS family. My fiance turned me on 4 years ago, and we listen every day.
Thank you. I'm going to be doing stand-up. That'll be, as you hear this tomorrow, that'll be the Uptown Theater, which is a beautiful theater. That's right in the, I don't know, right in the middle of Napa.
Right in the heart,
yeah.
Napa.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Revitalized downtown Napa.
It's so nice.
Well, there was a time when Chris and I were dating where downtown Napa was a little sketchy. You didn't feel great walking around. It was a little sketch. But
now it's like Pasadena.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's beautiful. The
Speaking
theater's
of which, beautiful couple.
Beautiful, beautiful couple.
We just saw a picture of you, Taylor.
And
thank you.
Yeah, so you'd like to come up and pull the ping pong balls out of the hopper?
Yes, sir.
What are your qualifications?
Do you have hands?
God. The experience?
I can talk about airplanes. I have a master's in aeronautics. Used to work for Boeing before this.
Wow.
I think I'm pretty funny, but my fiance would tell you I'm not at all, but I think I'm pretty funny.
Taylor, what's the ratio of men to women in what you do, whether the aeronautics and engineering and stuff?
Ooh.
Well,
very
now
low.
She's at Lyft,
I used
right?
to run a meeting every morning that was probably 65 guys and me. In engineering and like the tech world in San Francisco, there's a lot more females, but not as much in aeronautics.
Yeah, although when I was just out on that bourbon barter, I met this great husband-wife pilot team. I think they both flew for UPS or DHL or something.
Don't you hate them?
I hate them. Yeah. I hate them. I don't know why. There's something.
I flew once, and I landed in the grass. So that was not the career for me.
The thing I realized in having a conversation with the pilot, which is an interesting. Taylor, you're in. By the way, I don't know what it's a show
you.
At 8 o'clock. It's at Napa. There's still some tickets available. It's tomorrow. That'll be Friday. I think September 27th. I'll see you there, sweetheart.
Really excited. Thank you.
Thank you. And leave your fiance at home.
Smartest one in the room.
I have this thing. You guys tell me what you think of this. I realize that, you know, when you travel with Nate and you travel with Mike, it's like everything's just miscommunicated. But as I was traveling around, spent a couple hours with this pilot, you know, at some point, you know, Nate would say, pull out onto this street, turn right, then tuck in behind this guy. And then when this guy comes in, give him a few seconds, and then you pull up next to him, whatever. And he would just execute it because I realized pilots have to be able to execute all the time.
And the shortest, most efficient verbiage. Right.
And they can't do, like, I've always said this, like, I've spent a lot of time in this realm as like a, as an adult, and I'm always curious about it. Now, if you play football, you have to execute. You have to remember all the snap counts and the plays and everything. If you're in the military, if you're a pilot, if you build things, you have to kind of memorize things. I had this moment where they said, as part of the thing, like, hey, you're in this farm in Kentucky. You want to drive a big John Deere, kind of a modern tractor. And I said, yeah, I do. And the guy with a little bit of a Hispanic accent said, first thing, you lift the console up for the steering wheel and you get it and you adjust it down. And then you take this lever and you put it into drive. And then you put your foot on the brake and you put your other foot on the clutch. And then you turn the key and then you start it. And then you take this lever and you put it into slot C. And then you use these buttons for upshifting and then these buttons for downshifting. And I just jumped in the goddamn tractor and took off because I remembered the seven things he told me to do. I remember, but I also couldn't do it if I didn't drive race cars, because when you jump into the professional Trans Am car and the guy's telling you what everything does, you have to process it and then move forward. Yeah. Most people I know fall off about instruction number three.
Get in the tractor.
And then at some point, and this is why they never get past this, they go, You said, and it's like, why would the guy who drives the tractor tell you an incorrect way to drive the goddamn tractor? There's a picture of me driving tractor, footage of me. This guy told me there were about six things to do before I took off in this tractor. It's not like a car in that you just put it in drive and drive off. There's all these different gear settings, and you have to put it in neutral, and then you have to put it in reverse or forward or whatever it is. I took off in this tractor, but I realized it's because I've driven all these different race cars and gotten all these different instructions.
I
could process it. Not enough people are getting there. You hang out with pilots, there's no confusion. They hear what you say, they do it. What I keep running into is this thing where you go, here's what you're going to do, this, this, and this. And I always kind of liken it to anyone who's picked up some football, like, you know, backyard football, sandlot, whatever you want to call it. Do these things where it's, I don't know exactly how to impart this, but you guys tell me. Like, you do the thing, like, you get in a huddle and you go, all right, I'm going to play quarterback. You line up to the right, all the way out to the right, and you line up all the way to the left. And when they snap me the ball, you come around from the left side. We're going to fake a reverse. You, on the right, you're going to run out, like, jogging, like, half speed, like you're blocking, like I'm going to hand the ball off to this guy in reverse. And then you go hard for the left pylon. I'll be rolling. I'm going to keep the ball, and I'll hit you at the left pylon. I'm left-handed. And they go, okay, break. Snap the ball. Guy comes running around. First off, the guy comes running around for the reverse, always runs right at you. Right. And you're like, hey.
I can't fake this.
How do I fake it? You're running at me. You have to come around me, number one. Number two, at some point, you do this fake reverse, and you're rolling out to the left. And the guy you told to roll out to the left with you, he's gone to the right pylon, and he's standing there, and you can't reach him. And then you come back to the huddle, and you go, what happened? And he goes, I don't know.
Wasn't there.
It's like, wow, that it wasn't like, it's not like we drew up the play on Wednesday, and then on Saturday we met back at the field. We snapped the ball 20 seconds after I told you what to do. You didn't do any of it. Yeah, well, here we are. So I realized there's a lot of that. Like, look in terms of this. It's been a long time, and maybe Waze has gotten rid of this. But remember back in the day when you'd say to someone, follow me to the restaurant.
Sure.
Just follow me. And they go, where is it? I just follow me. And you look in your rear view, and they're 200 feet behind you, and like two cars slide in. And then it's like, oh, they missed the light. Mm-hmm. Now I have to pull over on the side of Ventura. Right. It's like, Why didn't you follow me? Yeah. Like, why?
The plan we just established.
We just said you don't know where the restaurant is, but I said follow me, and you just were letting daylight, more daylight, more daylight, and then eventually you missed the signal, and now I'm weirdly having to pull over in the 7-Eleven parking lot to see when the signal changes. why do people fuck up follow me? But many do, or most do.
Yeah.
Right. There's two types of follow me's that I enjoy. there's the way my dad used to do it, which is just let a country mile in between and let a whole bunch of different cars slide in. And now you're staring in your rear view while you're driving, sort of looking for the restaurant, going, where is that person? Yeah. And why wouldn't they follow me? They don't know where the restaurant is. Or this person, where you go, we're going on the freeway. We're going out to Boulder. It's probably an hour drive. Just follow me to the Coors Brewery. And at some point, you change lanes on the freeway, 18 miles from the off ramp, and the person violently jerks their car, cuts somebody off, and slides chaos. In. Like, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to be tuned to the same radio station on that. Just make sure you can see me as we're also we're getting off the freeway to the right. So just go ahead and just
gets manic.
All right, but anyway, I've realized that people have difficulty in the mimicry or the following instructions department, which is, I guess, as we get further away from all the things that would kill us and all the things we had to do sort of in nature, you know, like when it came, like if you had a, if you're a young lad back in the, Davy Crockett days, and you had the flint gun, you know, with the powder and then the flint and the musket ball and the packet and the wadding and stuff like that. That grizzly bear's charging at you. You don't have a whole lot of fuck up time woven into what you're doing there, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's an order. It's got to be done in that order.
And
it's
got to
be done quickly. Yeah. And then it's got to work when the hammer goes down, right? So there was a lot of like, hey, if that stuff gets wet, you're going to die or you're not going to make it through the winter or, you know, if you don't salt that meat down right, you're going to whatever. So I feel like people had to pay attention.
Yeah.
Be more precise.
A little more. All right. Kyle Dunnigan is out there. What the hell was I talking about? Anyway.
Ball girls.
Muskets.
Aeronautics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that. There's something. God damn. Nothing more attractive than details. All right, Kyle is out there. We'll do a little blah blah blog with him. We'll do that right after this.
One night only. Laughs with Bald Brian. A night of stand-up comedy benefiting Stupid Cancer, a charity dedicated to helping young adults with cancer. Featuring Larry Miller, Dana Gould, Greg Fitzsimmons, Joel McHale, Brad Williams, Kyle Dunnigan, Jeff Cesario, Dr. Drew, and Adam Carolla. With your host, Brian Bishop.
Hey, this is Brian. I'm so excited and proud to be hosting this incredible fundraiser benefiting Stupid Cancer. They've been there for young adults like me who were diagnosed with cancer, and I'm thrilled to be able to pay it forward. If you love comedy, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you do, then please don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to laugh and give back to this great organization.
Saturday, November 2nd at the Avalon Theater in Hollywood. For tickets or to donate to the event, go to laughswithbaldbrian.com. That's laughswithbaldbrian.com. And you can join Brian Bishop for a warm-up night at the Dudes Brewing Company in Valencia this Saturday night at 8 p.m. Hosted by Bald Brian, featuring great comedians, and I, Mike Dawson, will even do 5 minutes. But I'm sure you'll come for the other guys. Saturday night at the Dudes Brewing Company in Valencia. For more on this show, go to thedudesbrew.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man. My dad was a carpenter. Mom was a school teacher. They waited to have kids until their late 20s, and then they focused on family and education. How'd that turn out? 20 years ago, I graduated from medical school and got married. And when my wife and I traveled to Europe for our 20th anniversary last week, when we got to the end of the jetway for that Austrian airline 777 wide body going to Vienna, we turned to the left. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Kyle, he's referring to...
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all.
When you board an aircraft...
Yeah.
It's not really first class unless you turn left.
Oh, that's true.
Otherwise, it's just an extension.
Everyone's
of
like
coach.
Calling everything first class yeah. now, yeah. and I just flew like Alaskan first class, like against a bulkhead, and I had like 14 inches of no space.
You weren't happy.
Like it is not. I've done first class where they didn't have a monitor or anything. Yes,
I say this as someone who's never done it. What if you get on the plane and you go upstairs?
Oh, that's
arrived.
Really never done that.
You've arrived before you took off?
Are they making those planes anymore?
Oh, yeah. They're making more of them.
I flew first class to Kentucky, and I didn't have anywhere to put my feet. I know it sounds like a country song.
I flew first class
to Kentucky.
Oh, there's the picture. Nice.
It is first class in that you have a nice seat, but there's nowhere to put my legs.
Are you giving a thumbs up or are you...
No. It's on its way to a thumbs down.
It's on my way to a thumbs down. But either way, you turn left, that's first class, baby.
I'll tell you, real first class, three windows and a bed. When you get a bed and you have
never
three
windows,
you know you're taking two windows from poor people.
That's right.
That feels good.
All right. Kyle is here. Kyle, I talked to Daniel Kellison all the time, our
good
crank
man.
Yankers and man show. He's such a fan of Kyle. He's like, Kyle, he needs a TV show.
He's so good.
Why does he have no money?
He's so good. He's so good. And I'm like, he is. And then Daniel, it's funny because Daniel is the tip of the spear for the whole woke movement 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Now he's tired of it. Because he's like, if Kyle was a lesbian or black or whatever, he'd be working. He'd be working. I go, well, thank you. You've made your bed, Daniel.
You made Kyle's bed.
You and your buddies have all created this.
No one else
and now
blame.
Your new best buddy, Kyle, doesn't have a job.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, I feel bad for the white men coming of age right now. Because they're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're bad.
Yeah.
You
started slavery.
Yet.
Like, I did.
What? I live in an apartment in Van Nuys. Yeah. Well, your forefathers.
If you're going to put the bad stuff on white people, you know, you'll put the good stuff too. That's all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we started slavery, but we also ended slavery.
That's right.
Hey,
right.
Right.
That's right,
guys. Yeah, clink, clink.
That's
clink
right. It. Yeah.
Go us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the same way works with rape. We may have started raping, but eventually we stopped.
Good point.
You know what I mean? Finished.
I'm a little less
when we're finished. Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
Then,
I just want to make sure.
Then there was the next. Then we started
off to
with
the next.
A fresh day.
Yes.
Yes. But eventually we stopped. Mm. That's right. We either realize
that.
It's morally wrong or we come. Those are the ways.
Those are
the way
choices.
To get guys to stop.
That's
very
right.
Similar.
Yeah. There's a lot of staring in the mirror after we get off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't like what we see reflected back at us, right, Kyle?
No, and then we change.
Then we change. That's
sometimes.
When change begins. Sometimes. Kyle is, he's going to be at Last with Paul Bryan November 2nd?
Oh.
Yeah.
Did I screw that up and not see that up on the thing?
I don't know if you put it up there.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
And I'm bringing my B game.
Yeah.
Well, me
ball
too.
Away.
Your bald game.
That's right.
All I got is B game, man. This is great.
Yeah.
I will be performing as well. I've seen Kyle at probably the Comedy Store the most, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. 3 days a week, usually.
Are you in the original room, the
I
main room,
both.
The belly room?
I bombed in the main room like I've never bombed before in my life.
When was
well,
this?
Well, I take big swings sometimes. This is a couple weeks ago, and it was after Joe Rogan. It was Joe Rogan's night, so all his guys are there, and he killed for like 30 minutes. And then I had this idea of doing live face swap on a projector, and I had a band.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted me to go after Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wouldn't let us put like our piano on the stage, so we had to set up. So there was a 10-minute setup, and a lot of people had left already. And then I kept walking in front of the projector. We had a lot of technical issues. Anyway, I've done it since, and we're back. But I bombed very hard. Like they're talking about it.
In
still.
The main,
yeah, about
in the main room.
Yeah, like Adam was there, who you know, books it and. People are getting a nice laugh out of it now, which is good. But no one was laughing that night.
We could probably do a live face swap at Laugh Through Bald Brian. Laugh with Bald Brian.
Oh, yeah. I got
we
a band.
Have video
I got a band.
Pretty,
you want a band?
That'd be awesome. A huge stage. Just the Avalon in Hollywood, right? So it's like a
it's made
bands,
for bands
play there.
We have a lot
and
of
there's pretty
like
huge
crap.
Monitors.
All right. Mm. Do you have, you have a projector screen?
I think it's pretty technically advanced. You guys
I'm
know
sure they could rustle
class.
Up a projector.
All right. We'll do it.
We'll talk.
I forgot right, we'll talk. That Kyle did a spot on Matt Fondelier.
It's creepy.
It's funny, creepy.
It's very accurate.
I got to hear him again because I don't remember how he talks.
You kind of did Dawson before the show. The,
you have to tune in.
Oh, yeah, Dawson, how do you talk?
Just like this.
Just like this.
Boom.
So now, Matt.
What is that, boss?
This is not my idea, Matt, but Matt.
What's happening?
Had a little setback the other day, which is my wallet, which I thought was lost, turned out somebody had, and someone had sent him an email saying we have Adam's wallet, but Matt did not report that to me, so I just tore apart.
Oh, he thought that was low on the priority list.
I tore apart my den and my car.
So you're totally over that now, and everything's totally fine and back to normal, right?
So yeah, I may
be, cool, right? Everything's cool, back to normal?
Well, I may be looking for a new Matt. That's what I'm saying.
I'd love to jump throw my hat in the ring. Okay. Wait, talk more, Matt. I don't know if I got you here.
Adam, I worked with you for 10 years. You're going to get rid of me like that?
Right.
Hey, come on. How about a new Matt, huh?
Yeah.
I'm out of work, see? Come on, boss.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Yeah. Like, I like the familiarity.
Yeah, you like the sound.
I like the sound. Yeah. I just don't like the actions. Right. You know what I mean?
Like, boss, if I found your wallet, boss, hey, I'll tell you what. Mm. I'd call you up right away and tell you your wallet's found, pal.
New Matt may just walk it over to my house, right?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. FedEx it. Couldn't get there in time.
But you definitely notify me.
Oh, yeah. I'd tell you right away, boss.
I mean, you wouldn't have me tear apart my den, would
no
you?
No way. That was old Matt.
Yeah.
New Matt's cool.
But Matt's been around for 10 years. Some say that's 3 years too long.
Yeah. Fuck old Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. In a way, you know, he's kind of the devil you know. You know what I mean?
Like, I was going to say, boss, I feel like I'm more than an assistant to you. I'm like a confidant. You can trust me, you know? Mm-hmm. You tell me things. I don't blab.
Nah, you're old news, man. Get out of here, pal.
He didn't blab at all about the Comedy Central roast tickets.
So you can. You didn't blab about your wallet being found.
You blew it, pal.
Let's imagine new Matt that Adam had said, hey, I'm doing the roast of Alec Baldwin. Please spread the word to our staff. Anyone would like to go, they can
you
go.
You got it, boss. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brian, you hear about the roast?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, boss is going to be on it.
Yeah,
isn't that cool?
I'd love to go.
Got to go. I got to tell everyone else. Hey, Gina, hear about that roast?
Yeah, I'm so excited about it.
New Matt's great.
All right. Now, also, Matt, while being the porcelain punisher, is also a man of leisure. Yeah. And he pursues
lazy,
leisure.
Is that a euphemism for a lazy piece of crap?
No. He's family and sedentary oriented. And
he has a zest for rest.
Well done, sir.
New Matt never sleeps, boss.
Yeah, like if you had a van and it had a company sign on the sign, it would say the best at rest.
That's good.
So, license plate says Z.
So again, I enjoy asking old Matt like what he's doing over the weekend because he usually has a taste of Encino, or he's going to his parents' house to hang out, luxuriate in a hot tub, and drink daiquiris and things of that nature while his dad puts a ham in the oven. So, like, I just want to simulate a little of that with you, new Matt. What are you doing this weekend?
Doing some cocaine, not sleeping, thinking about boss.
Oh, I like that even better.
Yeah, better. Up all night.
Up all night doing rails, thinking
watching
about
you on
me.
On the roast on repeat, boss.
Repeating the roast.
Yeah, boss.
Wow, I'm flattered.
It's employee of the year as you hired him.
Yeah.
Matt.
And
you want me to clean your toilet, boss?
Wow. Yeah, I do.
It'd be my honor, boss.
Wow. But on the weekend?
Whenever you need it.
He's up.
Oh, like Sunday, 5 a.m.?
Live under your house.
Oh, you live under my house?
Yeah.
Pop up, clean the toilet, and go right back.
Have a little trap door.
Yeah.
Pop my head up. Need something, boss?
Mmm.
That's new Matt.
Wow.
Hey, old Matt, will you talk? I think I'm losing your impression.
No, you're doing it just right.
All right,
there's no way I can keep up with that. You're right. You should just take the job.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll show
get
myself
out. Get out of here, old
hey,
Matt.
New Matt, why don't you tell old Matt to get one of those boxes with the wood grain on it, the cardboard boxes with the handles built in them.
Oh, a coffin.
And
first.
He's just got to just sort of pack up his
yeah,
stuff.
Get all your crap. Get out of here.
And remember, the booze isn't his. He's going to throw some booze in that box.
Yeah, leave the booze here, pal. Someone watch him. Don't trust this guy. Get him away from the hard drives.
All right. Well, I'm glad we remembered new Matt and old Matt. God, that makes me laugh. All right. Let's see. We're going to do a little blah, blah, blog. First, I'll hit Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge. with your questions for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times, fool! Stronger against viscosity breakdown. You got a question, Max Pata?
Yeah, first off, I want to remind everybody you're doing a giveaway to meet you in Vegas, so tune in later for that. This is a question from Mike Porter, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Adam, can you tell us about the experience of making your Castrol TV commercial?
Yeah, they've been running this Castrol spot I recorded earlier in the year, me driving around an Audi R8, I think it is, but it's a R8, but it's probably the V10 R8 in the rain and sliding around. And
that's you?
Looking like I know what I'm doing. And
McDonald's.
All that good stuff. So
badass.
Yeah, I went down to a studio and faked driving a car.
Take it back.
But
who did that donut?
I can do all that stuff pretty easily in a car because I have done all of it. Because when you go through the driving school, at some point they just wet down the skid pad and you just slide it all over the place. So thank you, and thank you, Castrol Edge. All right, should we do a little blah, blah, blog with Trump?
Blah, 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 blah. We need a song.
It's time blah, for blah, 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 blah. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
So in honor of our guest, all of these blogs are related to our president.
All right.
I am so sick of mediocre white men not being directly called out in real time. Like right now, Kavanaugh is a sexual abuser. So is Trump, who is now encouraging Brett to sue for libel. Stop fearing him, people. Trump is a mediocre man. We are America, damn it.
Angry lesbian for sure. Go ahead.
Hashtag stop Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Duh.
Is it Rosie O'Donnell?
Leaning towards
Alyssa Milano. Or Rosanna Arquette?
Ooh.
It's tough. Disgusting. It's a murder's row of chicks that hate Trump. You had your angry lesbian inkling, Donald, pretty early on.
I did, yes, but now I'm looking at that one on the left.
Rosanna Arquette.
Just seems weird to think of her, so it might be her.
You all right with Billy Bush back on the air?
Love it.
Oh, you do?
Love that guy.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Locker room duck. Love that guy.
Yeah.
Talking about Bush.
I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I didn't talk about that, but okay. All right,
gay locker room.
Should we start? You want to start, Brian?
Yeah, I feel like Alyssa Milano is always more grandiose, and Rosie has her established thing with Trump. Whereas this is more like, why aren't you people listening to me? So I'm going to say it's Arquette.
It feels Arquette-ish,
like kind of a new thought. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's not the other two.
It's also kind of weird when you go Kavanaugh, and then you go Brett. Because there's a little confusion. They may keep it consistent. Yeah. Go Kavanaugh. I'm going Arquette as well.
I'm trying to pull out any phrases or words I can. There was something about mediocre man that sounded like Rosie O'Donnell. So I'm going to go Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Just a disgusting row. Let's see. I'm going with the Patricia has-been Arquette. Who would throw her in here?
Oh, because she's a has-been?
Is it Rosanna?
Yeah, it's Rosanna. Thinks of her.
Patricia, Rosanna.
Oh, wait, the blog's from Patricia, but that's Rosanna?
No, okay. It's Rosanna.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, that's Rosanna. Okay.
The blog belongs to Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it. That was my first instinct.
It sure was.
I got it. Can I say this? As we've talked about this on other podcasts or earlier, ACS, but... Could the comedians get a little dusting of comedy in their words
right.
So we could
sprinkle
at least identify
it.
Them yeah. from the nutty housewives that are whose hair's on fire?
Just
like,
angry.
Come on, a little smarter turn of phrase.
There's plenty
of
punchlines there.
Right, yeah. That way we could discern.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Disloyal dick-stained Donald Trump. You don't speak on behalf of the Jews.
Wow.
The Mike Cohen days are over, baby dick Donald. Hashtag American Jews. Is it Sarah Silverman? Michael Rapaport or Chelsea Handler?
Whoa. Wait, this is confusing.
Is Rapaport Jewish?
I don't think so.
No, but he's still, I don't know.
Is Chelsea Handler Jewish?
I think for some reason she is.
I want to hear that one again. I was something about a dick stain.
Disloyal dick stain, Donald Trump. You don't speak on behalf of the Jews. The Mike Cohen days are over, baby dick Donald.
I know who this is.
I have a feeling. It's weird, but I have a feeling.
Chelsea Handler, I haven't taken a deep dive in this yet, but she's got some sort of Netflix special out where she gets to explore her white privilege.
Oh, boy.
But the reality to Chelsea Handler's privilege in terms of her career is being a attractive blonde, mm-hmm. not so much the color of the skin, but more the good-looking in a world of comedians that doesn't often not flush with you know, nines and tens, although Sarah's easy on the eyes.
Pretty.
And so is Chelsea. Hello, privilege. It's me, Chelsea. She explores her white privilege by probably sits down and just cries in front of black people. I'm guessing. All right. Anyway, super helpful to have those conversations. I'm going Chelsea.
Nope.
The language is just so Rapaport. I got to go Rapaport.
Me too. Dick Stain, come on.
Rapaport. Sarah's got great taste in comedians.
I'd be shocked if it was Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
The blog belongs to Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah doesn't talk like that anymore.
No.
I've read a couple of recent tweets of her getting potty mouthed. Or something.
She's not like aggressive like that anymore.
She feels more like wordsmithy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does, but I don't know. Dick stain. It's
such a great word.
That's pretty good.
Kind of like it. All right, see if you can find something. I feel like I've read a few.
And find out if Rapaport's Jewish.
Ivanka Trump will be in Alabama tomorrow. I hope she dresses appropriately. Her father might decide to draw a tornado over the state. Mm. Is it Chelsea Handler?
Mm.
Bill Maher.
Okay, people.
Or Patton Oswalt.
Oh, hey, Bill, I just want to say we're looking forward to Maui coming up this year. My whole family's going to be there, and I know we're always there at the same time. And we're always kind of ships in the night, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're not going this year, okay? Don't check Four Seasons, but we definitely won't be there, okay?
All right, so you're not going to be at the Four Seasons in Maui? But why did you bring it up?
You people have a good time.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. If we're having some drinks at they have a nice bar at the Four Seasons in Maui. I'll just check and see if you happen to change your travel plan.
No. You don't have to check. Okay, we won't be there. Okay.
All right. Well, if you're not going to be there, then what could be the harm in just asking the concierge?
Well, because I think they're working on some very toxic material over there at the Four Seasons. Okay, so
you so don't go there.
Might want to stay away.
Okay. All right. I just thought.
And please don't bring those children.
My kids are fans. You know, they love show business. And my son wants to. I don't know. He wants to do what you do. You know, and make the jokes and the commentary. You know, I think he could be pretty good at it. You know.
I'm sure he'll be really good if he takes after his father.
Well. Yeah.
And this isn't sarcasm, okay?
No,
this isn't me being condescending, calling you a terrible broadcaster, okay?
Wait a minute. I think you're being condescending when you're saying you're not sounding condescending. Huh?
You think this sounds condescending?
Well, it is a little sing-songy,
No, it's just how I talk.
Okay. Okay, but let's say I was a cop, Bill.
Right.
And I just pulled you over.
Okay.
And you had some weed in your glove box.
I don't have weed in my glove box.
I'm just saying.
Check there. There's no point.
And I asked for license and registration. Would you be as condescending and sing-songy as you are to Adam Carolla, the podcast host?
I'm not being sing-songy or condescending. I think you're terrific. And I love your children. And if I was in Maui, I'd love to spend time with all you people.
All right. Well, maybe we'll just... Oh, Sarah Silverman and Larry Miller are going to be... They're confirmed for your New Year's Eve bash. Is that in Maui? Hmm. But you're selling tickets in Maui on New Year's Eve.
I'm Skyping in.
Oh.
Right.
So you're not going to be there for your own bash?
No, I won't be there for my own show, Adam. I won't be there.
Are you Skyping from another island, or are you just not going to be in the Hawaiian island chains at all?
Right. I'll be homeland side.
Okay. Well, we're going to go by the bash. Hey, Larry's a friend. Sarah's a friend. You know, I've been working out at the Comedy Store, you know. So
yeah, I heard.
So I've got
We all heard about you doing stand-up comedy.
All right. Well, the other night,
I'm putting that in quotes, by the way.
The guy who stunk up the main room, that was Dunnigan. That wasn't me.
But normally he does very well.
I don't know. You sound like you're defending the man too much. My point is this. That epic failure, that was Dunnigan. That was not me, all right?
Yeah, but you left a stink. He just stepped in your stink.
Anyway, here's what I'm saying, Bill. I'm going to be... Are you like Dunnigan?
So good.
Well, as long as he stays in his lane, as soon as he stops doing voices, that guy just crashes and burns. Yeah, I mean...
What happened to blah, blah, blah? Let's get off this. Patton Oswalt.
Can't I come out and do the bash in New Year's? Just like a tight 20. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sarah, I think Sarah would vouch for me. I think Larry Miller knows I'm the real.
Why don't you come on by and see if you can get through security? I'm sure you will.
All right, so back to Trump. Let's see, to Bill Maher. Yeah. What was the thing again? What did he say? Oh, the circling Alabama. Could be anybody. Bill does the jokes a little more. Pat does. I don't know. Now I'm going back to Chelsea again.
Yeah, I'm going to feel bad saying this.
Rappaport is Jewish.
Okay, comes out to
wow.
Be- True, but this is nowhere near clever or funny enough for Patton Oswalt. So I'm going to go with Chelsea Handler.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. Patton makes jokes, great jokes. So, God, it's got to be Chelsea. I'll go Bill.
I'm going Ratatouille. I loved talking animals. So terrific.
Patton Oswalt.
The blog belongs to Chelsea Handler. Yeah.
God damn it.
There we go.
True.
If it's a bad joke, guys, put three bad choices up there.
Wow, Brian.
Dear Donald J. Trump, Don Jr., Keklis, and Erica. Oh, and you too, Kush. You're all going to lose bigly. It's delicious watching you believe your own hype, when in reality, you're just disintegrating and turning to dust. Democrats, we got this.
Ugh.
Fuck Trump. Is it?
Go ahead, say.
Is it Alyssa Milano? Yes. Kathy Griffin or Chrissy Teigen?
Oh, man. Mm.
All right, we know it's an idiot, so let's see here.
I saw Kathy last night. She seemed in very good spirits.
Is she in the cast, in Crank Giggers' cast?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, she is. And I saw her and her husband, or longtime boyfriend, manager there. Very good spirits, good mood, good everything, good hair. Said she shaved her hair because sister passed of cancer. She shaved her head, and then it just kind of grew back sort of naturally curly. All right, everyone's angry. Teigen's got the potty mouth. I don't have any thoughts, Brian. What do you know?
I think it's too aggressive for Alyssa Milano. I'm going to go Chrissy Teigen.
Mm. Chrissy keeps it pretty short and pretty just fuck you, so I'm going Kathy.
I'm going to go with the muffin-faced Teigen, because whoever it was is a very low IQ. And usually when you have a pretty face, you're a bit low IQ.
I'm trying to think, because I don't know if Kathy wants back on this treadmill.
Yeah.
Like, she wants to...
She chopped my head off.
Yeah.
That wasn't cool.
I heard Barron saw it and thought you were really dead started chilling his champagne. He's like, get the Martinellis on ice!
What a
ding dong,
spring.
And the witch is dead!
I'm going Teigen on this one.
The blog belongs to... Kathy Griffin.
That's right.
Gina, so good at this game.
Thank you.
This is your Rotten Tomato game.
Back in it.
How dare you.
Back in the water.
The president's rally will be a defining moment in American history. It reminds us of the grave stakes of the coming presidential election. That this fight is not merely about policy ideas. It is a fight for the soul of our nation. The ideals at the heart of our founding. Equal protection under the law. Pluralism, religious liberty, are under attack, and it is up to all of us to defend them. Is it Kamala Harris?
Who?
Elizabeth Warren.
Huh?
Or Ilhan Omar?
What?
What's under attack? Everything? We all have to do something?
Equal protection under the law, pluralism, and religious liberty.
Mm. Oh, awesome.
I have a thought, but she should go first because she's in the lead.
Mm. Well, I need a minute because that's a rough, wordy. How many characters do you get on Twitter? My God.
It's the threaded tweet. Pam,
yeah, so Kamala Harris does a lot of this kind of talk.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's talking about most of the time. She does a lot of it. Elizabeth's a little more coherent when she does this stuff. Ilhan Omar, I don't think likes this country very much from what I've gathered from her. She's super angry. But you go first.
Yeah, I think we could take Warren out of this equation. It does not sound like her. I'm going to say it's a little sort of platitude-y and kind of takes you on a wild ride. I'm going to go Kamala.
Yeah, that's probably where the smart money is, but I'll go Ilhan because I got to make up like five spots here.
Yeah, you can't discount the pandering, but I do think the religious liberty part of it makes me think it's Omar. So Omar's my guess.
Yep, yep, going with the thought. I can't pronounce her name.
Well, that could be any.
Yeah, actually. Okay, I'm going with, is it Omar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Omar.
Mm-hmm. The blog belongs to Ilhan Omar.
Ah, crap.
Woo! Yeah. So jumps back.
What's the score, Joss? I have no idea.
We've got a tie with Gina and Brian at 3, leaving Adam and Kyle or Mr. Trump out of
who's
this.
That?
I don't know.
All right. Let's do the tiebreaker.
All right. Here we go. Head to head.
This one's worth 10 points. So Trump can get back into it.
Unanimously passed resolution in Senate to release whistleblower report to intelligence community.
Trump, I don't know how tuned in you are to the comedy community. Did you hear about Dunnigan's epic failure in the main room the other day?
I heard something else.
What'd you
hear? I heard that it was so fantastically genius. The people didn't get it.
It was above their pay grade.
They've got to catch up. And so, you know, history will tell us it was the most fantastical show ever created. That's what I hear.
That's what you heard?
Yeah.
Okay. You got your ear to the ground with the comedy.
So terrific. Yeah. So terrific. Trump's favorite. Go ahead, Dawson.
Unanimously passed resolution in Senate to release whistleblower report to intelligence community. Great news. Now, many in the GOP are throwing in the towel on the Trumpeter dumpster. Is it Anthony Scaramucci or Rob Reiner?
I don't even know what I just heard. That was bizarre.
The mooch is going the other direction, like trying to run another candidate or something.
Lost the mooch.
I mean, I have a guess. I mean, it's kind of 6 and 1/2 dozen and the other for me, Brian. I don't know if you want to go. Or...
I'm 60-40. I'll go with the mooch.
I was going to go with Reiner.
Oh, perfect.
The blog belongs to Anthony Scaramucci.
Oh, good job, Brian.
The mooch. All right.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
All right, let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, and save it for a rainy day. That's geico.com. Just a few minutes could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance at geico.com. Okay, quick break. Right back with Gina and Kyle in the news right after this.